I'm so excited you are joining me in Studio C. I hope you have your Bibles ready, because today we're going to study how you are God's glorious masterpiece. Hello, I'm Kathy DuPlantis right here in Studio C again. Just so glad that you join me every week. I believe that God is using this program to bless your heart. And maybe, you know, if you're new, it's so important to know that God brought you here for a purpose. I believe that God wants to touch your life and let you know how wonderful your life really can be. And of course, I have my friend Chrissy with me on the set.
Yes, Pastor Kathy, we have fun every week, and it seems like each episode just gets better and better.
I know, and I just sense that the people that God draws to this program really need what He's put on our heart to say. And because we get testimonies all the time about how these programs and the different things that we do here at Just DuPlantis Ministries really are impacting their lives.
I know, and we see it all the time. I love reading them. That's one of my favorite parts of my job, is I get to go on all the social media platforms. We read your comments, Team JDM's collecting them, whether it's from Glorious Living, the boardroom chats, and we just rejoice with you. People are realizing that God has promises for them, that He loves them and designed them for Glorious Living. Mm-hmm. And I have one I want to read right now. It says, "Thank you, Pastor Kathy and Chrissy, for this program. During your prayer, I cried out to God for total healing from my daughter and myself. Now I'm standing on His promise, and I claim it in Jesus' name. I envision my daughter being a walking, talking testament to the goodness of God. I see her excitedly telling people of God's love and His miracles." And in all capitals, she put, "I believe." And this just gives me so much excitement and encouragement to know that programs like this at Just DuPlantis Ministries is causing people to run to God, to seek out their healing, to seek out the manifestation of what they're believing for and believe it. She put, "I believe," and I believe with you. We both believe with you.
We agree with you. In fact, you're using your faith voice, and that's so important, because when you say what God says, and believe it in your heart, and you say what He's told you, what the promises that belong to you, like for your healing of your daughter, then you're changing things.
That's
And this is what we're teaching all this year. Our theme for the ministry this year is use your faith voice. And we've talked about that on the last program with Jody. And
so
in fact, Jesse popped in. If you haven't seen that, we need to go back and look at it.
It was a fun surprise. he was coming into the studio, and we're like, what's he doing here? Bring him up. I love when you made that decision to get him here.
Yeah, I knew he always has something to say. But, you know, it's important to realize that God does put people in our lives and speaks to our life. And I believe that God is using this program to speak blessing to your life, to strengthen you. And we're going to study the Word of God today.
I love it.
In fact, we're going to focus in on an article that's in our current ministry magazine for the month of March. It's also an excerpt that's in my book. It's a chapter from my book.
It's chapter three.
Chapter three is called God's Glorious Masterpiece.
Beautiful.
And God gave me this message many years ago, but I put it in article form, and then it became part of the book because it really touched my life. And I believe that God really has created us as a masterpiece, not just a glorious masterpiece that He has created.
I love it. It's so important that we do that we reflect on the truth of His Word, that we're a masterpiece. How many times we wake up in the morning, we look in the mirror, and we're like, this ain't it. This is not a masterpiece. But we're talking about the inner being that He created us to be.
Well, most of us are a work in progress.
Yeah, that's right. That's true.
And so we almost have to hold a sign over ourselves and say, pardon our dust.
Yeah.
But we have to be patient with others because God's patient with us.
That's right.
You know, kind of reminds me of this story. You know, I sometimes watch TV, and I remember years ago there was this reality TV program that came on about somebody redoing the houses. Maybe you've seen those. I used to like to watch
those
when I was, you know, just watch them build the house. I mean, there was this lot, that the property they had that they wanted to build their dream home on. So that meant the old house had to go away.
Yep.
And so every week, I guess that this went on for a long time, but in that one program, I don't know if it was a 30-minute or one-hour program, but you'd see the different levels of it, how they would take down everything. They had to go down under the concrete,
take out
everything, excavate, prepare the soil. Mm-hmm. And so they'd see the owners watching it and kind of like,
what's
happening? Yeah. Getting rid of this old house. And then all of a sudden, the beautiful new house came on. They showed us the interior and all the things. And you could tell that the owners were thinking about all the dreams and plans they had that would happen in that house.
Yeah.
But you know, when we first become born again, we're all a lot like that house.
That's so true.
And before we made the decision to accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we were all just that way. And it all had to be, there was nothing really about us that was worth saving.
That's right.
Just like that old house, there wasn't anything worth saving. But God had a plan for our lives. Yes. And so when we trust Him, you know, it's not really anything that we could do for ourselves. We have to trust God to do it for us, because the blood of Jesus comes to cleanse us from all of our sin.
That's right.
And set us on a great new path.
Amen. And I love that. And when you use that analogy, it's just so perfect. I love the part, thinking about my favorite part of those shows, when they take the sledgehammers and they're knocking down the wall.
Knock that wall out.
And they're like, we got to get all this gross stuff out. These cabinets got to go out with the old and with the new. And that's right. What God calls us to do when we come to the knowledge of Christ. We can't keep those old nasty habits, those old nasty cabinets filled with things we got to get rid of.
Right. And that couple, they had to start with a fresh foundation.
That's right.
And that's what we need when we come to God. We really get a fresh foundation. Think about it. You don't have to think about your old life. Mm-hmm. God has a great, glorious future for you when you turn to Him.
I love it. And you know what? Maybe you've been a believer. Maybe you're saying, well, I'm saved, but I just can't seem to shake these old ways. Well, today's the day to be reminded that no matter what, no matter how long you've been saved, whether it's been 40 years or 4 months, whatever the case is, today's the day where you can have that inner check and say, I got to get rid of all these old things keeping me from my future.
Yeah, and we need to be reminded that we really are new in Christ, that we don't have to live our old way, think our old way, that God has new ways for us to think that will help change the situation that we have in our life now and realize receive the new.
Amen.
In fact, why don't you read our text, Chrissy? It's in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Verse 17.
Yes, it says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new.
Behold.
Behold.
That's like big, big words right there. Behold. God wants us to step into the new.
That's right.
You know, it's in an instant. Think about it. In an instant, the wonderful, amazing grace of God demolished our old dead lives and replace them with a new recreated spirit.
I love it. And Brother Jesse says, well, he says, a new creature with new features.
Yeah.
He makes sure to let us know that, listen, it's not, you're not going to, you know, you might not recognize yourself. I love that story of him when he got born again. And he was just within a few hours of being born again, he walked into that club, that music club.
Well, just a few minutes.
Just a few minutes. How like supernatural that is. And he saw sin for what it really
was.
For
the first time.
Yeah. And to me, that's
he
so
called
encouraging.
It an upholstered sewer.
Wow.
You know, the night before he was in there, he never noticed that the sin, but the next night he had got born again, just within a few minutes, he would have to go down to the club to perform, and he saw sin for what it was.
Yeah.
It was eye-opening.
It is eye-opening.
You know, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 in the Amplified says it a beautiful way. It says what we have become. It says a new creature altogether. Wow. The old previous moral and spiritual condition has passed away. Behold, the fresh and the new has come.
I like fresh and new.
I do too.
And I love the word behold.
Behold.
Too. Behold, you're new. You're behold. This that has nothing to do with your new life in Christ. You're a born again believer.
Yeah.
And when we remind ourselves that, that's when you start seeing things in a fresh new perspective. There's might be things you're watching on TV, you'll look at it again and say, I can't keep watching this. There's something in you that Holy Spirit will prompt you to say, I'm done with living this life or watching this or doing this and that.
Because it's not helpful for your future. It's not going to help you get where you want to go.
Yeah.
But this is so powerful because every failure and disappointment was wiped clean. And when we left our demolition zone, if you want to think of it that way, through the blood of Jesus.
So
now, we're going to shift and kind of do a study in the book of Ephesians, because I want Chrissy to read Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, which is the inspiration for this teaching. And it's so powerful because it's in the New Living Translation. Mm-hmm. Why don't you read that, Chrissy?
I love it. It says, for we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things He planned for us long ago. I think what sticks out to me, not only is God calling me a masterpiece, calling us a masterpiece. When I think of masterpieces, I think of those beautiful paintings, the Mona Lisa. When we walk around the international headquarters here, the offices, we have beautiful paintings on the wall that are so intricately designed.
Stained glass in the sanctuary.
Stained glass that it's actually one of a kind.
I have one in my studio here. Sometimes we pan it around.
Yeah, they can show it, and it's beautiful, and it just, you can see the detail, and you can see that there's a purpose behind every stroke. Mm-hmm. And that's when God, He designed us with a purpose behind every characteristic, every place, the time we were born, where He placed us, who our family, our friends, our job, wherever He has you in this time, He's using it for the good.
That's so true.
And it's so good to remind ourselves of that. We're a masterpiece. You are not a piece of junk. You're a masterpiece.
Yeah. And God has good things planned for you. You are His masterpiece. He created you anew from the inside out and gave you a clean foundation Amen. To continue to build upon. Mm-hmm. In fact, every tool that you'll ever need for this new life has already been provided for you by your master builder.
Wow, the master builder.
I love that.
He made those plans. And in that verse, it says he planned for us long ago, the foundation of the world. He mm-hmm. thought of us and knew that plan of salvation was to save you and me and all of us. And,
right.
and there was a purpose behind everything he established before the foundation of the world. That is so cool. It's yeah. so far out, but it's cool. It's like,
yeah, but it's a training time. Yeah. And many times you get born again, there's so much to do. New to learn, and God wants to teach you. And you have to do that. Basically, you renew your mind. It reminds me of my first scripture that I ever learned when I was born again, and that is in Romans chapter 12. Mm-hmm. I never forget it because I was 21 at the time, and I knew almost nothing about the Bible. In fact, I'd never read the Bible before
wow.
I got born again. But God knew that I needed a complete overhaul.
Yeah.
So the verse of scripture that he sent me to that I memorized for the very first time was Romans chapter 12, verse 2. And in fact, I read it in the King James, but I have it here. I want Chrissy to read it to you
Beautiful.
In the New Living Translation because
so
it's so powerful.
It is. It says, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. And what I love about that, Pastor Kathy, is like you said, you didn't really know anything about the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
But the moment that you accepted Jesus and you started meditating on the scripture, there was a passion that came upon you to where you had a passion for world evangelism just in those hotel rooms or wherever you were.
Well, I wanted the same thing that happened to me to happen to everyone, especially started with my family. I put, like I said, I put Jesse in the crosshairs.
Oh, yep.
But I knew I had to go in the Word and learn some things. So it's like that transformation process. I think the word that's used there was about how it's like a caterpillar, how it goes into a cocoon.
Beautiful.
And it's transformed into a beautiful butterfly. It's like a metamorphosis.
Yeah.
We need that in our own lives. Although we're born again, instantly our spirit is pure and transformed, mm-hmm. but our outside, our way of thinking needs to change.
That's right.
And so we're going to go into a study about all of this, how this happens.
So good.
And we're going to shift to Ephesians chapter 4 so we can cover all of this because God showed me so many different things in this chapter that is so powerful. We're
yes.
going to start reading with, let me see where we're going to go. These are instructions that the Apostle Paul wrote to the church at Ephesus. He also wrote it to the church in Colossae, but mm-hmm. this is a lot of the same things he was teaching because the devil
yeah.
doesn't have any new tricks.
That's right.
People need to learn about what God has done in their lives.
That's right.
So these instructions are going to help you today, but we're going to start reading in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 21. We're going to go through 24.
I love
Let Chrissy
it.
Read that. This too is in the New Living Translation.
I love studying. I think this is so perfect for this time. It says, since you have heard about Jesus and have learned the truth that comes from him, throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. So he's encouraging the churches. He's saying, throw it off.
Take it off.
Throw it away. It makes me think sometimes of my mama. I love her. She's always trying to help me out. And she is great.
Yeah.
But sometimes if I walk in and she sees that same sweater that I've been wearing, she's like, you got to throw it away.
Get rid of that new wardrobe.
Chuck them out. And I'm like, okay, Mom.
That's so true.
Wisdom. Sometimes it's just you wore it too much.
Yeah,
you got to take it off.
Sometimes we got to like go through our closets and
yes.
do a good clean out. I need to do that again myself because things just get... I can't find the precious because the nasty slid the way.
Oh, that's so good. You can't find it. It's so true.
Yeah, so Mom wanted you to give gave you great advice that day.
I listened to her a lot, too, just like we need to listen to the Word. But
right.
It's so good that we're reading that, and you can apply it to even that. When you said in the closet, walk in, the precious things are there, but it's buried beneath things that have been worn too much.
That need to get thrown out. And our old way of life before we believed in Christ is completely in the past.
Mm.
We should put it behind us like old clothes that need to be thrown away.
Yeah.
And when we decide to accept Christ's gift of salvation, it's both a one-time decision as well as a daily conscious commitment.
Yeah.
And we're not to be driven by desire and impulse. We must put on the new nature and head in the new direction that God has given us, the new way of thinking According to the Word of God and according to what the Holy Spirit gives us.
According to what the Holy Spirit gives us. I think we forget sometimes that we have that power, that same resurrection power that rose Jesus from the dead resides in us. So when we think, I can't change, this is too hard, I keep doing the old sinful things, I can't get out, I'm addicted, possibly you're dealing with some sort of addiction or thing, a stronghold. No, we break the chains in the name of Jesus because you obtain the Holy Spirit. And with that Holy Spirit power and side of you, that's when things start changing. Once you recognize it and start saying, wait, no, I'm done with this. This needs to leave, and I'm a new creature. That's when things start taking off.
Amen. You know, and this is perfect. This is great teaching that Paul gave to the church at Ephesus. And these were believers, but these believers needed to do things to so that their mind would be renewed, so they would be transformed into the image of God, even on the outside. So with the remaining verses we're going to study in today's program of Ephesians chapter 4 contains seven things that show us how to put on the new self and to be renewed in the spirit of our mind. So we're going to read. The first one is be real.
Be real.
You know, there's so many people that live a phony life. They live a facade. They're like they're wearing a mask. And, you know, they think people don't see through it, but we do.
Yeah.
And so it's important to just be real, to be true to your own self. In fact, verse 25 tells us this. Chrissy, why don't you read verse 25?
Yes. It says, so stop telling lies. Let us tell our neighbors the truth, for we are all parts of the same body. That's so true. How many times do we stop from sharing the gospel or sharing the truth of our character, of what God's given us to do, just to please other people? Mm-hmm. And maybe we're not trying to be phony or act, but certain things scare us to where we can't be bold in the truth. But it's so important, even in this time, to stand up for righteousness, to share the truth in love. And people will wake up to the knowledge of Christ when we're real and we're good examples of Jesus.
Yeah. You know, we get that so often, Chrissy, when I meet with people and I always don't not really know how to react to it. They'll say things like, we just love you and Jesse because y'all are so real.
Yeah, that's right.
And that means a lot to us, but that's what God wants us to do, to be real. You know, and when you determine in your heart to be real with yourself and with others, you've taken a vital step toward renewing your mind. And that's what's so important, because it's only with a pure and open heart that you can be transformed and allow your recreated new spirit to soar.
It's so good. And when I think of the life of Jesus, I mean, he was real. What you see is what you got with Jesus. He did not tell lies. He was never phony. He was always so filled with the truth. It just oozed out of him wherever he went. People were just so astounded by the truth he was speaking. And that's who we need to model ourselves after, is Jesus.
Yeah, and that's always ground zero. That's step one, be real.
Step two
is be forgiving.
Oh, Lord.
And we're going to continue reading through the rest of Ephesians chapter 4. So if you have your Bible, continue reading. We're going through this in the New Living Translation. So Chrissy, read verse 26.
So good. And don't sin by letting anger control you. Don't let the sun go down while you are still angry. Wow.
That's good advice.
It is sure good advice.
See, the Bible teaches us, Chrissy, that there's only two instances when we're required to forgive. The first is when you have an ought against someone, and the second one is when someone has an ought against you.
So no excuses. No,
that covers it all. That covers it all. And when you're trying to hold, not forgive someone, this should cover everything. And
that's right.
How could we expect God to forgive us when we don't forgive others?
That's so true.
So, you know, this whole idea of forgiveness gives people a lot of challenges, maybe a lot of they're concerned about it, because forgiveness doesn't always mean letting someone back into that place of intimacy.
Wow, that's right.
You know, you can look, you can choose to love and choose to forgive, but that doesn't mean that you have to go back to the old lifestyle or maybe allow someone into your space that would violate you. This, I remember a brother, John Hagee, said a statement when he came to the church many years ago. He said, I think it says, to extend forgiveness without demanding change makes the grace of God an accomplice to evil.
Oh, wow.
So we should expect change from people. We can forgive them and not hold a grudge against them and still love them.
Exactly.
But that doesn't mean that you don't demand change from that person before they come back into your
I love that.
Place.
It's so practical and awesome. A lot of people call it boundaries. You have boundaries.
Oh, yeah.
And that's a biblical thing. The world wants to take it and write books about it. But really, it's a biblical principle of forgiving, still loving, but saying, you know what, I'm going to... Next one, be wise, right? How this rolls so
Number
well.
Number three, be wise.
Yes.
This is in verse 27. Go ahead, Chrissy, read that.
It says, for anger gives a foothold to the devil. Wow, that's so good.
Yeah, and that's it's so important to realize that anger really opens the door for the devil to come in and bomb your house out or bring division in your life. So first of all, be real, then you're forgiving, and then you're wise. Recognize the tactics of the devil to try to destroy you. And so this wisdom really is the ability to use knowledge. Mm-hmm. And when you daily pray and study God's word, the Holy Spirit will give you knowledge each step of the way. And it's your responsibility to go to the Word of God and be wise, find out what it says, and allow the Holy Spirit to teach you and so that you could respond to the leading of the Spirit.
That's right.
He's teaching us to stay alert to His directions at all times, and that way you'll never give the devil an opportunity.
That's so good. And the Lord built that. I mean, the Holy Spirit, He's in us and He prompts us. So when there's something in your spirit that recognizes, hey, this isn't right, this looks like a danger zone, those are promptings that the Lord puts in us to keep us wise so that we're seeking good, thoughtful, lovely things, pure, just things, instead of just running away with everybody wants to go here, there, whatever the case may be, pulling you in different directions. No, what does God want me to do?
Yeah.
What is the Holy Spirit saying to do in this moment?
Mm-hmm. It's and so important. Wisdom is so important. Wisdom's the ability to use knowledge, but there's a book in the Bible that you can read every day, just one of them, one chapter each day. In fact, it's the book of Proverbs. Mm-hmm. There's 31 of them. So you can read one every day of the month.
Well, that's great.
So and each day you'll read it, you'll get wiser and wiser because it's written by the man who sought God for wisdom. That was Solomon.
That's right.
And so there's so many great things that you can learn. And it's a good thing to tell your children to do as well. Mm-hmm. I remember hearing this from Ben Carson years ago. I read his book. His mother was a great woman. She cleaned houses. Yeah. And she told her sons, who were little hoodlums at that time, she says, the houses and the rich people that she cleaned their house, those kids didn't just watch TV or play outside all day long. They read books.
Wow.
You're going to read books. So he was a bad student, started reading, and then he became a great, he later became a neurosurgeon.
I know.
And he served on President Trump's first term.
I love it.
Ben Carson. So it was a great thing that you learned that wisdom. And one of the things he said in a book that I read, he said he would read the book of Proverbs, one of them every day.
I love that.
So it's a good wisdom to do that. So you can be wise. God's word is filled with wisdom, and the Holy Spirit will lead you exactly where you need to
go. Amen. This is great.
Number four, the next one is be diligent.
Mm, that's awesome.
We're going to read verse 28. Chrissy?
It says, if you are a thief, quit stealing. Instead, use your hands for good, hard work, and then give generously to others in need. This is so good. These are biblical principles we can apply today. And just when it says quit stealing, there's things robbing that you might be allowing the devil to rob of you, of your time, of your energy. Staying focused, staying diligent, it's really self-control. It's a fruit of the Spirit. When you learn those principles and when you're filled with the Holy Ghost and you have that, diligence follows. And you'll see it manifest in your life.
That's so true. And you know, the practical thing is that Paul was writing to the church. So they got people in the church that really hadn't got their act together yet.
This was the beginning.
Maybe they were a thief and they have to face facts. You can't keep living the way you did.
Yeah.
Once you get born again, you're going to have to change some things. The Holy Spirit will be prompting you, giving you the wisdom. He'll show you, look, this is not the way you're supposed to live. Instead of stealing to get what you want, to get ahead or being you have to be real, of course. We said be forgiving. Be wise, be diligent, is this next one that we're on. But it's important to realize that you're supposed to work.
Yeah.
He says, let everything you say be good and helpful. Well, where am I at? I'm in the wrong spot, right? Be diligent. He says, use your hands for good, hard work.
Amen.
And then give generously to those in need.
So
this whole thing about being diligent, which is you put whatever you put your hand to do, you do it with excellence.
That's right.
And you do it diligently.
And that's this ministry. I know we have new projects. I love when you say we don't let the grass grow under our feet. We got something going on. God's telling you, Brother Jesse, for new projects and divine insight and concepts. We have a conference, a visionary conference that takes all of these actually, and it all applies to letting your vision grow and expand. And that's what this ministry is all about, is encouraging people to be diligent in what God's called you to do. Don't give up. The circumstances may look bleak, but God is a God of light, and He's a God of order and of joy. So when you do that, when you remain diligent in His word, you'll see the fruit produced.
You know, it can be frustrating sometimes. I remember looking back in all the years that I've been born again, sometimes I would get frustrated because I wasn't growing as fast as I wanted to. But the key is to stick with it. Be consistent, because diligence is vitally important for steady, strong spiritual growth. Without it, you're just going around in circles.
That's right.
But when you consistently seek God and do what He calls you to do, no matter how small. He will lead you into bigger things. You are God's hands in the earth, and you are destined to be a blessing to those that you meet.
This is so good.
That calls us to number five.
I love it.
Chrissy, yes. Number five is speak the word.
Speak the word. That goes with our theme. Use your faith voice.
That's right. It's Verse 29 in the New Living Translation. Go ahead and read that, Chrissy.
Yes, it says, don't use foul or abusive language. Let everything you say be good and helpful so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. Man, sometimes I feel like when you read that, again, don't use foul or abusive language. Sometimes it just pops out and you have to course correct mm-hmm. right there. Make sure that you're saying lovely things, that you're meditating on the word, and it will come out. It will just come out and
you
be a blessing.
What you meditate on is what's going to come out of your mouth. Because what you meditate on gets in your heart. So meditate on the word of God, and then you'll start changing what comes out of your
That's
mouth.
That's so good.
Because learning to speak the word really has transformed my life. And when I learned that my words were containers that held my future, I began to be more selective about what I allowed to come out of my mouth.
Amen.
If I wanted God's promises from His word to dominate my life, I had to learn to dominate my mouth and let no unwholesome word proceed from it. I remember making a list of all the things that the promises that applied to the different problems or the things that I was believing for and facing. And each time the enemy would come against me, I would declare the word of God
Amen.
And speak the word of God. And it really began to change my circumstances. It did not come overnight, but it did come. And I'm continuing to say things and speak things that I want to happen.
Amen.
Using my faith voice.
Use your faith voice. Mm-hmm. And I know we've mentioned it on a previous program about the affirmations, the monthly affirmations mm-hmm. that are in our partner letter. It's in our magazine. And it assists you on speaking the word and taking those beautiful verses that God designed just for us and making it practical and personal so
That's
that
so
we can
good.
Start talking it and saying it and repeating it. I mean, if you got to write it down in your journal, say it out loud, stick it on your mirror, whatever it is, just to get it reinforced in your heart.
Right.
So that when those tactics come from the devil saying, you're not a masterpiece, you can't do it, you never will be this or that, you can recognize that that's a lie from the enemy.
Right.
That's a tactic to get you off course and that you remain focused on the word. And when you speak it, that's when it sticks.
That's so true. You know, it reminds me of a phrase that really helps me. I make God's word final authority in my life. And I speak to situations, you know, so that everything, that the things that need to change. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3 tells us that the worlds were framed by the word of God. Mm-hmm. And Ephesians 5:1 tells us that we are to be imitators of Him as dear children.
Mm-hmm.
And Proverbs 18:20 says that death and life are in the power of our tongue.
Mm-hmm.
So it is vitally important to fill our hearts with God's word and say what God says rather than what we think so that it will give us grace to walk out. And also for those that hear what we say.
So good. This is exciting, Ms.
We're
Kathy.
On number six,
we're
Chrissy.
On the
we're
going
to get
one.
Through it. I hope y'all staying with
oh,
us.
It's so
and
good.
And that this is touching your life.
Yes.
It's be sensitive.
Beautiful.
And we're going to read verse 30 in the New Living Translation,
yes.
Chrissy.
And do not bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit by the way you live. Remember, He has identified you as His own, guaranteeing that you will be saved on the day of redemption. What a beautiful hope of glory that is.
Mm-hmm.
That do not bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit in the way you live. When you put it that way, it makes it so much more sensitive to the Spirit. We're so much more sensitive when
yes.
we look at it as the Holy Spirit is a person. Mm-hmm. And He is. He gets grieved by our sin. We don't want to cause that. Oh, my goodness. Yeah. The thought of it's horrible.
Right. So we need to be sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit because most of us have no idea how easily the Holy Spirit is grieved and just God has a greater capacity to love than we can conceive.
Wow.
His capacity to be grieved is even greater too. But when we refuse to obey His directions, He will quietly withdraw His gentle promptings.
Beautiful.
So if you haven't heard from God in a long time, maybe you need to go back and think about what's the last thing He told you to do.
Oh, that's so true.
And then stand from that point and allow Him to lead you gently through His plan for your life.
Gosh,
He's waiting for you.
Oh my gosh, that's amazing.
This brings us to number seven.
Number seven.
The last one in our
yes.
list of seven things that help us to renew our minds. This is found in Ephesians chapter 4. We've been studying through it. Hope you've been studying along
so
with
good.
Us. Let love rule.
Let
love rule this. And we're going to read the last two verses in chapter 4 of the book of Ephesians in the New Living Translation.
It's awesome. It says, get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Instead, be kind to each other, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as God through Christ has forgiven you. I love this. When we read those those adjectives, tenderhearted, forgiving, the kindness. Mm. You think of some of the people in my life and when I've had maybe some tough times, just a tender word or a kind touch or just somebody saying, hey, I'm with you. Can I pray for you? Those are life-changing people and life-changing moments. And we do that for other people. That's God working in the earth.
And this
us.
Is how Jesus acted when he was on the earth. His demonstration to his disciples was so inspirational. When the crowds came to him, no matter what their needs were, he was always moved with compassion. Mm-hmm. He loved and cared for each individual so beautifully and so completely. He's our great example. But you know, when love rules your heart and your life, you become a true reflection of Jesus Christ. You can refuse to allow the works of the flesh to dominate your life by making a decision to love the way that God loves. Mm-hmm. It was this limitless love that compelled Jesus to the cross to die for the sins of the world. And this same force of love can rule your life and cause the world to be attracted to the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Amen. God is love.
This has been so beautiful.
Isn't it been amazing just to realize the God we serve is a good, good Father. I love that song when I play it. It's just reflecting on His goodness, reflecting on His love, reflecting on the promises He gives us. And when we turn to Him and His Word, we're filled with wisdom. Mm-hmm. We're filled with that supernatural love and diligence and all those things. Forgiveness, the burdens you've been holding or the offenses can be cast away in the mighty name of Jesus when you make that decision to realize that you're His masterpiece.
That's so good.
I love it so much.
You know, it's important to realize that God does really care about you, no matter what you're dealing with today. You know, so many of us, we're our worst enemy. Mm-hmm. We sabotage our life with the words of our mouth. But God wants to just change our perspective and start realizing who we are in Him based on His Word and how He truly has created us to be His glorious masterpiece.
Yes.
I know you may look at your outside. Sometimes I look at my outside like today. It's not been a good hair day for me.
We all have those
and
moments.
And I got this little cough that's been trying to mess me up during this program. But it is so important to realize that no matter what we go through each day, God has a plan to help us to renew our minds, to recognize and see ourselves the way He does.
Yes.
Renewing your mind is a continual process. You got to constantly be at it.
Yeah.
And you know, don't get down on yourself if you mess up sometime. God is so loving, so forgiving, so ready to just extend His strength and help to us so that we can continually grow.
I love it so much. And we have so many awesome resources from this program to hundreds and hundreds of other beautiful messages that share that truth that you're His glorious masterpiece. This book is one of my favorites of those beautiful materials we have. You were designed for glorious living.
It was the inspiration for this program that we started years ago.
I know. And what I love about it is that's a huge part. Chapter 3, you were God's glorious masterpiece. When you first recognize the truth of who He called you to be and get your identity rooted in the knowledge of Christ, that's when things start flowing from you. And then you'll be able to say, wow, God, look at all the blessings. Look at the abundant life You've given me. All because I set my eyes on You and I realized the truth of Your Word, that You designed me to live gloriously.
Mm-hmm. That's what's available. And this is why we have this program. And this is why we love what we do.
I love it.
No matter what we do, whether it's this program here, the other programs we do, the church services, the evangelistic meetings that we have, the television broadcast, each one of them are done with You in mind.
Yeah.
Because we want you to realize just how precious You are to us, but especially to God.
Praise God.
So just put that in your heart today and realize that you are wonderfully and awesomely made. Mm-hmm. God has created you and to be His glorious masterpiece.
It's beautiful. That word's my favorite, glorious. I love it. I love it. Everything about God is glorious. Everything about your life can be glorious when you fixate your eyes on Jesus.
And you know, for 50 years now, Chrissy, we've been doing that, communicating this to people everywhere that God sends us. 50 years of reaching people and changing lives, one soul at a time, and it's all such a big, important part of everything that we do, and it happens because of our partners.
That's
I just don't want to leave a program without thanking our wonderful partners for helping us to go into all the world, fulfill the commission of Jesus to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Every person is precious to God.
Yes.
And they are precious to us. This is why we do what we do, have been doing it for 50 years.
Yeah, wow.
So thank you, partners, for helping us to do this. If you're not a partner, you can become one by using all of that information that's on the screen. We just want you to realize that we are a force for God.
That's right.
Just us here at the ministry here headquarters in Destrehan, Louisiana, as well as the partners that connect with us from all over the world. We're doing something for Jesus. We're reaching people. We're changing lives. One soul at a time.
Awesome. And if you need prayer, you can comment below. We have Team JDM praying with you. You can also contact the ministry. You can email us. You can call us. And we have a 24/7 prayer team ready to agree with you for your healing, restoration, whatever the case may be. We're here for you. We love you. And God loves you.
That's right. Thank you, Chrissy, for being with me today on the program.
I love it. So much fun. Thank you, Pastor
Kathy. Always a blessing to study the Word of God with you.
It's so great. Can't wait until next week, too.
I know. It's going to be great. Thank you for sharing today with me, sharing your time. And please to share this with other people, too. There are people in your life that need to realize how very special they are to God.
Amen.
And how they are special to you as well. So this has been great, but we're going to be back next week.
Yes, ma'am.
And I hope that you're back here next week with me here in Studio C for another great program on Glorious Living. God bless you.